As Dadaab had slunk out of the hall, he saw the chieftain step toward the ring in the mosaic that represented the Age of Doubt, a band of black opals, each stone flecked red and orange and blue. Dadaab had expected the chieftain to raise his arms in a prayer pose or show some other deference to a symbol he usually treated with reverence. But the chieftain simply brushed the ring with one of his large, two-toed feet, as if he were wiping off a smudge. Not long after this, Maccabeus had ordered the Ungoy to the orbital.
"On your feet, Bapop."
Dadaab rubbed his palms before the heating coil.
"Time to do the ministry's work, and I need an able helper."
When Bapop failed to rise, Dadaab walked to Flim and pulled a toolkit from his pile. The larger Ungoy aspirated a bit of sludge as the pile settled, jerking him downward. But Dadaab's bold move had stunned the petty tyrant, and Flim did not protest.
"Bring a core,"
Dadaab said to Bapop as he shouldered the toolkit.
"We'll need the light."
With that, he headed off toward the center of the orbital. He had just turned the first corner around the nearest junction when he heard feet padding along behind him. Dadaab smiled and slowed his pace. Bapop drew along beside him, his arms cradling the requested core.
"Where are we going, Deacon?"
"This facility's control room, I believe."
"What are we looking for?"
"I'll know it when I see it."
As far as Rapid Conversion's luminary was concerned, there was nothing interesting on the orbital. No relics, and certainly no hint of the planet's oracle, which had evaded the luminary ever since the parley. But Dadaab knew there must be more of the aliens' intelligent boxes aboard the orbital. He was hopeful they contained information that would help Maccabeus fix the oracle's location, and in so doing, dispel his grim and distant mood, one that was, as best as Dadaab could figure, a product of the oracle's elusiveness and the chieftain's resulting fears that his report to the prophets had been deeply flawed. On the other side of the junction was a cylindrical room built off the walkway between two thick wires linked to the spars above. The room had caught Dadaab's eye every time he traversed the orbital, first and foremost because it was the facility's largest enclosed space, and second because the room's sliding metal doors were firmly locked together. The latter was easily remedied with a pry bar from the toolkit, and soon the two Ungoy were inside the room, Bapop's energy core brightening the shadows with flickering blue light. A short flight of steps led down to a shallow circular pit, the back half of which was lined with seven white towers set close together to form an arc. Even before Dadaab pulled back one of the tower's thin metal paneling with his spiny fingers, he knew he'd guessed right about the room's contents. But he had no idea his instincts would yield such abundant results. Each of the towers was packed with intelligent circuits, some in familiar dark metal boxes, others floating in tubes filled with a clear, cold fluid, all connected by an intricate web of multicolored wires. Dadaab realized he wasn't looking at individual components stored together, but rather a single thinking machine, an associated intelligence that made lighter-than-sums linked boxes seem primitive by comparison.
"Where are you going?"
Bapop asked as Dadaab bounded up the stairs to the walkway.
"Back to the cruiser,"
Dadaab shouted. Then, as he forced his way through the room's half-open doors,
"Stay here. Don't let anyone else inside."
Dadaab's jog to the umbilical left by the spirit dropship took him past Flim's outpost. He didn't say a word to the Ungoy gathered there or to those at the next cable junction. He was so worried one of the other Ungoy might discover what he had found, he waited to contact Rapid Conversion until he had passed through the energy barrier. The Jiril Hane that answered his request for an immediate pickup told him he would have to wait. The two of the cruiser's three operable dropships were engaged, and the third held in reserve. But Dadaab clarified that he had vital information for the chieftain that simply couldn't wait, and the Jiril Hane bridge officer gruffly told him to stand by. A little while later, Dadaab was inside the spirit's cabin, standing beside a junior Jiril Hane with sparse brown fur and blotchy skin named Khalid, who said nothing until the spirit drew close to Rapid Conversion and he received a transmission through his signal unit that only he could hear.
We must hold,
Khalid growled, fingers stabbing a series of hollow switches in the control panel before his pilot's seat. His tone told Dadab that, having already pressed his luck asking for this unscheduled flight, it would be wise not to question the delay. But Khalid gave a reason without prompting, as if the only way he could make sense of the transmission was to repeat it out loud.
There is fighting. In the hangar.
All Dadab's impatience quickly turned to panic as his thoughts shifted to lighter than some, floating unprotected in his troop bay workshop. But despite Khalid's own obvious consternation, the sour, biting stink that soon filled the spirit's cabin, Dadab knew the Jirulhane would follow orders. All he could do was wait.